I'm delighted to present, first of all, Nino Haratashvili. And you all in Germany will know Nino very well. We actually, in Zwischen, know Nino very well in the UK as well. And her latest book is, thankfully, Das Mangelnde Licht, is going to be published in English too next year. So really excited about that. So Nino Haratashvili was born and grew up in Tbilisi in Georgia, as we know, and she attended a German school and later moved to Germany, writing in German. She works as a novelist, a playwright, and a director. Her debut novel, Juja, was published in 2010 and longlisted for the German Book Prize. Her novel, Das achte Leben, für Brilke, The Eighth Life, which was written in German in 2014, became a bestseller, and it was adapted for theatre and a film version, I think, is in the works. And The Cat and the General came next, and her latest novel is called Das Mangelnde Licht. And in English, that is going to be translated as The Failing Light, or the, I don't know how they're going to translate it, but that's what it is. And that'll be out in English next year. Nino's been honoured with the Anna Seegers Literature Prize, the Bertolt Brecht Prize, and the Schiller Memorial Prize. And she used to live in Hamburg, but now she lives in Berlin. So I'd like to invite Nino to give her a statement. And again, we have no title for this, but that's fine. It is basically, what is literature?
Thank you. And it's fine because I didn't know that Tanya would be here when I wrote it, and so I'm very happy because I kind of referred to her. Last year, my Ukrainian colleague Tanya Malachuk gave the opening talk for the Bachmann contest in Klagenfurt. There she referred to herself as a broken author, a former author, an author who lost their language. And continued, I became scared of a language that can convince millions of mainly peaceful citizens that they were in the right to murder others. I thought about her words for a long time. Why write if reality cannot be shaped and molded, cannot be influenced by words? When you have the feeling that all humanity is being wiped out by reality, the reality of war, that every value that you believed in is being destroyed. 10, 15 years ago, I would not have questioned this. Writing seemed meaningful enough for me, but perhaps, paradoxically, everyone becomes less self-assured over the course of life. At least that's true for me. Experience makes us more careful, and at some point, the cruelty and the injustice of the world can no longer be dismissed with the radicalism of youth. And still, I look for the meanings that once seemed so unshakable to me and which I now question again and again in my wordless dialogue with Tanya. I must not allow myself to fall into nihilism. That is not an option. Even if I have to recognize and again how thin the foundation of our civilization is, it's actually no ground at all, a frozen lake that can collapse at any time. But resignation would mean embracing the abyss, and this is not an option as well. Recently, my colleagues, also from the Ukraine, Ostap Slivinsky, recounted the nights that he spent in the bunkers in his hometown in Lviv, and how the neighbors were talking to each other for the first time, exchanging ideas, getting in touch with each other. And even long after the alarm had gone off, people stayed chatting, sometimes even singing. I knew immediately what he meant. I remember those days. I remember this longing for community in the face of life-threatening fear. Because the last war I experienced was in 2008, in Georgia, when Russian bombs were also falling, and I asked myself this fundamental question for the first time, which Tanya is now forced to ask 15 years later for the same reason. Why write? Why make art at all? Why even try to express something when the world around you has gone completely insane and violence and death are silencing everything else? And yet, I also remember those days full of hunger, yes, that's one way to describe the feelings that I had back then. Hunger for life, hunger for people, hunger for love, and above all, a hunger for solidarity. I remember sitting together in many places with different people, some of whom I knew and some of whom were strangers, and I remember the most incredible stories that I heard, very intimate, very special stories that people told each other. And it was only much later that I understood the reason for this unexpected openness. Nobody knew what tomorrow would look like and whether it would even exist. When Ostap talks about people sitting in bunkers during a bomb scare, it's precisely the stories, invented or experienced stories, that makes them forget the fact that everything can be over in a matter of seconds, their whole lives. Our world is woven by the stories. We imbibe them in our mother's milk. Everything that has gone before us and perhaps even what is to come is inscribed in us. And we are all connected to each other by this invisible thread sewn from words. Words unite us. I really do believe that. And sometimes they also separate us. But they are the crutches we have to lean on to support each other and sometimes simply to keep us from losing our minds. And from words, we weave something else, something that is ultimately the only and most effective prevention against all violence, empathy. By communicating, we make ourselves vulnerable on the one hand and approachable on the other. We build bridges. Without the ability to empathize with others, this world is a very dark place for me. But unfortunately, this ability is not present in our everyday lives to the extent that we need it, so that our ground does not remain a frozen lake. If we were capable of empathy every second and in every moment of our lives, there would be no war. And as long as this is not the case, we have to breed it artificially in experimental art labs. Because no other field can do this as well as art, and no genre has mastered the science as precisely as literature. It is the science of empathy, if you will. Yes, empathy is perhaps the biggest gift that literature is capable of giving, both to the reader and writer. By identifying with someone else, by making someone else's feelings your own, you expand, you duplicate yourself, you gain an extra identity. You leave your own and enter a new foreign world that becomes your own after a few pages. We enter a magical place, not because unrealistic things take place, but because all the options and possibilities that we can never live out in a lifetime are stored there. That's where all the paths we have never taken are, where all the turn-offs we have never taken are, all the people we have never met. That's where all the versions of ourselves live, that we could have been in some parallel galaxies. And yet I know that no matter what I say, in the end I must accept that words stop nothing. We are powerless in the face of reality. Time and time again we must recognize our failure. Time and time again we must realize that the ground beneath our feet offers no stability. But without this resistance, without these attempts, without these bridges, we're lost. I think even more lost than before. Thank you.